Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Evan Knox. Now, he's the founder of, love this name, Caffeine Marketing. Praise the Lord. Now, Caffeine Marketing is a marketing company that, you know, Evan Knox founded. And he's helped over 100 different business owners to grow their business. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's episodes, you need to go back and catch up because we don't have time to cover a lot of ground again. But we're going to start off today's conversation because things have not always been smooth with Evan and Caffeine Marketing. So he's going to tell us a little bit of the background and things that have that he's had to improve upon over the years and how he helps you. He's here to give us tips today on how to improve all this. Now, let's join the conversation already in progress. Here's Evan Knox. Things were not always that smooth for you, even though you say you grew up because of the diamond industry and all. You said that you grew up with anything you could ever want, but there had to be some adversity in your life. I mean, what were some of the things, you know, what were some of those things, and what did you learn through the adverse situations?
Yeah, so it felt like it really kind of, my life hit the fan, per se, in high school. My parents started to act kind of weird, and I wasn't really sure what was going on. I was trying to, you know, put stuff together. But as an only child, I didn't really have anybody to run things by. You know, it was just kind of me and trying to pick up on stuff. And lo and behold, my dad had basically started to re-struggle with a narcotics addiction he had before my parents met. And so, you know, that was super tough because, you know, like you mentioned, I had everything I could ever want more, just a spoiled only child living in a, you know, fairly nice area of the Atlanta metro area. Mm-hmm. And I went from having everything I could ever want to there being a bank notice on the door and my mom having to work some sort of customer service job just to like keep us in the house a little bit longer. And I remember going to the dentist and just feeling like super afraid that like we couldn't, and my mom never, like my mom was so good about trying to keep me not necessarily out of the loop, but she never had like a fear mentality with me necessarily. But I'm, you know, at this point, by the time my parents get divorced, my dad's struggling with drugs, we lose everything. I think I'm like 16 or 17 and everything really finally, you know, capstones. And yeah, I mean, I was afraid. I developed a scarcity mindset in that season. Thankfully I put my faith in Jesus a few years before. So I was really leaning into my faith in that relationship, but it was very, very hard. That was hard, not to like skip through some of the stuff, but so that happens. Right. And then eventually my mom gets remarried to an awesome guy named John. And then John actually passes away in a car wreck, about like 3 years after they got married, which was like super tough. And then my dad ends up passing away maybe like 3.5 years ago or so. So it's been a lot of grief, a lot of struggle, a lot of stuff to overcome. And it's very interesting to have your identity be in this, like, I don't know, you know, kind of a, not necessarily a jockey high school kid, but like, you know, my identity was misplaced and it was ripped out from under me and became very apparent that I couldn't lean on status and wealth. You know, I had to lean into something else, a higher power.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, when I've had, you know, several instances of it, you know, severe adversity in my life, and it's never something I would want to do again, but coming through that, when something else similar happens, I'm like, I've already dealt with this once. I'm charging through this time. You know, I'm not going to the woe is me stuff again, you know, and it, you know, the adage when I was in the military, I can't remember where it was from. It may have been, well, I'm not even going to guess who came up with the quote, but the one that I kept saying was, that which does not kill me only makes me stronger. And you know, it's no fun coming through it, but once you're coming through, it's like, that's behind me now and it's not going to affect me anymore. And it actually shapes what, you know, we do now, and all those experiences actually shapes what we're doing right now to help other people go through things. And that's what it sounds like you're doing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think anybody ever wants to go back through this, you know, the situations or the struggles or whatever that is, but there's definitely stuff that you gain. I think a lot of resiliency and drive has come from that. And, you know, honestly, there's some drive that I can tap into, but I know, you know, it's like that scarcity mindset. That's not been a struggle necessarily for me in the past couple of years, but if it's there, I'm like, hey, you know, I need to work hard right now. You know, there's like a fear of missing out that I can kind of tap into whenever I want. So there's stuff you gain from it for sure.
Is it true that you doubled your bottom line 3 years running now for Catholic marketing?
Yeah. That's been pretty wild. We started Caffeine, and I think ultimately it's serving great clients, and I've got a kind of a system that I run for my own business. And it's basically hyper optimizing myself, my business, and my leadership. And I think that those things are really the key to that. But yeah, it's been really cool. This year, I'm hoping to do the same thing. I've decided to pivot and do more in the investment community, which has been cool. So I don't know that I'll probably see a really great return on investment in a year or two from now, but we'll see. Maybe I can still hit that 2x again this year.
Amen. And this is something that you help business owners to do when they come to you for services as well, right?
Yeah. So I'm part of a private equity group. And I joke around because I'm like, y'all, we actually are going to sell to like real private equity, because we become a partner in these businesses, or we buy these businesses, whichever it is. And we come in and we change a lot of systems and processes and really hyper optimize the business, like I was talking to you about just a minute ago. And we do that. And then also I create the marketing systems and processes that I do for most of my clients, but I basically get free reign because now we're owners in the company, you know, because there's a lot of time that I'm like, hey, I promise you, it feels risky, but you need to be doing X or Y, you know? Yeah. And sometimes it's hard for a client to get there. When it's your own business, you can choose to do that. When you're a partner in it, it's really a team decision. So it's been great. You know, we've been able to help a lot of these really great companies. One of them, for example, we acquired in February and March, we got some of the backend systems ironed out. And then in April, so this last month, we finished 195% ahead of where we were last year in that same month. So not 100% increase in revenue, but almost 200%.
Almost 200. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then you build that up and then sell the company, or what is the ultimate plan for what you're doing with these things?
So I'm sure some of them will turn into, I don't want to call them necessarily legacy businesses, but like there might be some that we keep that we just like. For the most part, the goal in this scenario for this particular business is for us to do what we're doing currently, increase the revenue, increase the net margin. So I think our net margin has increased like 34% or something like that, or more. And so we increase the margin, we increase the revenue, we build up the systems and processes. And then we have other companies that we basically, you know, package together and then sell to a different investor or private equity owner. So, in a nutshell, what happens is when you have multiple companies that you could put together, you could sell, this is super simple math here. Yeah. But if you had two separate $500,000 companies, net evaluation or whatever, and you try to sell those, let's say this is totally made up, but like, let's say you got a 4x multiple on each one separately. However, if you combine them and you package them together, then it's a $1 million deal, and you might get a 6x mm-hmm. because the larger the business class, not necessarily class, but like the group of the businesses or the total revenue and profits, the more you're going to get in return. You're going to get what we call a higher multiple. So that's the goal, is to get a bunch of them, flip them, and package them together and sell them.
So you're in partnership with other investors, but mm-hmm. the part I want to focus on is you're all not doing the same thing. Each mm-hmm. one of you brings something unique to the total package, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just go through the three. The main group of investors, there's like a couple other, guys involved, but it would be me, a guy named Nick, and a guy named Ian. They're all great. Not that everybody has to love Jesus, but these guys do. And that's important to me. And so Ian is probably double my age. He's also made an exit for like $26 million of a company that he started. And so he's got a lot of experience in the deal making side of this. And also as far as like turning around and either if we want to go the IPO route and go public with the shares, or if we wanted to turn around and sell this to more investors. He has a lot of experience in that area. And he's got a little bit, he's kind of got the sage thing going because, you know, he's double my age. So he's got a lot of experience in there. Nick is our operations guy. So Nick is a great deal maker. He is really great at putting together deals that are both really good for us and also really good for the business owner. A lot of the business owners that we work with are either in one of two categories. They're either one, they know they've got an awesome product or service, but they don't know how to scale their company. And so it's really hard, or they're not getting the marketing that they need. And then the other one is the one who's kind of tired. You know, they've built, you know, a couple $100,000 or a couple $1 million business, and they've done it for a decade or 7 years now. And they kind of want to be done. You know, they'd rather just have a mailbox money at this point.
Right.
And so those are the two types of people that we help with. Nick is great at making those deals together happen. And then ultimately my job is to come in and grow the companies. So Nick does a lot of the backend systems that enables us to scale. And I'm the one who does all the front end stuff in order to, I mean, it's a putting us together systems, processes, people, all that stuff to get those almost 200% increase in revenue, like we were talking about, and increase in net profitability.
Amen. So what are some of the qualities that you have seen in, we'll just say, effective leadership?
I think the most important is empathy. And I don't know that I'm the best at it, but I've seen it, you know, it's been when I've been led by people, I feel like empathy is the thing that I've wanted for them to understand where I'm at. And I feel like it's helped me influence the people that I lead the most is being empathetic for where they're at. Honestly, it's a great sales and marketing techniques to be empathetic to people. So if we can be empathetic, we can then put ourselves in their shoes and feel what they're feeling, you know, seeing and thinking. And I really think there's probably three different phases of that as far as like empathy and self-awareness. One is there's post. So it happened yesterday. You're trying to analyze how what went down. Then there's right after the fact, which is better than post because post is gone. You've already left the meeting. They're gone. You've got to send a text or an email to apologize to something you said. And then you got right after, which is basically you say something, you're trying to read what they're feeling and thinking, and you're also trying to imagine what they feel or think. That's good empathy and self-awareness. But I think ultimately the best is beforehand. So if you can go, hey, what do I want to say? What do I need them to do? But how are they going to feel about this? Can I empower my team members in order to ultimately be successful here? Can I not just delegate, but empower them to make decisions and trying to put yourself in their shoes?
Amen. So as you are brought into these organizations, that leadership team that's already in place, how do you determine whether they need to be replaced or elevated as far as, you know, you're, okay, here's how we're going to do this from this point forward, because you own the company. So you have the ability to, you know, keep them or fire them or whatever, right? So how do you make that determination as to their adaptability to your new systems?
It's hard. Change is hard for most people. And you know, each deal is really different. You know, sometimes we have a lot of cash up front. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's a lot of payments, seller finance, not necessarily seller financing, but like company financing. So it's very interesting. Every deal is very different. I don't know that we always come in with a mindset that we have to clear house. I know that a lot of really, really great business owners and, you know, CEOs who are brought into these companies actually come in, basically wipe the entire board and then restart, which I think is a very valid approach. But we don't necessarily have to do that. But I feel like it's always a conversation that we have. Like we're in negotiations right now. And it's less of a, because we don't know the team really. We're not going to like let go of the team because we don't know the team.
Right.
I think we need to get another team. But there are some positions or some roles that are redundant because we have a customer service, you know, system and process in place. We have a quote webmaster, you know, stuff in place. You know, and so it really depends. I know that's not a great answer, but I think it first starts with just evaluating, and you need, if you can't measure something, you can't manage it. So I think you need to see how they're doing and what they're doing. Empathy and self-awareness are really important to us for sure.
Yeah. Amen. You know, not everyone has these, you know, $200 million businesses or anything like that. what advice could you give someone if they're looking at improving their marketing for their business, ministry, whatever, that, you know, is, you know, small mom and pop operation, you know, maybe in a strip mall or something like that. What advice can you give them to help them out?
Yeah. And I would say most of the companies that we work with are the smaller, small companies, you know, you're doing $25 million or less. But I would say there's two keys, I think, really to be successful with marketing. One is your messaging, like I was referring to earlier. I think the biggest mistake that people make there is that they play the hero and not the guide. And if you just sit there talking about yourself all day, people really don't, you know, as my grandfather would say, people don't really care. They would rather you ask them questions about them than you talk about yourself. So I feel like that's very true in marketing as well. Sometimes we speak so loud about how awesome we are, but really no one pays attention to that because, like I said earlier, they're looking for someone to win the day, like help them win the day. The flip side of that is really, if you cannot measure, I'm very scared to invest in marketing that I cannot measure the results on. So I will try to advise my clients against something if we don't have a direct way to measure the return on investment, which is why I don't go and suggest billboards or mailers or anything like that, because it's very hard to track your return on investment. And you've said it in the very beginning of this podcast, but entrepreneurs, business leaders, ministry leaders, they just throw things on the wall and hope something sticks. And they keep doing it. And sometimes they hit the lottery. Most of the time, though, they waste a lot of time and a lot of money, and they ultimately cannot scale that. So you might be effective once out of every 30 times, but you've spent so much money on that, and then you can't replicate it, which is heartbreaking. And so, ultimately, if you can't scale your company, it's going to be hard to be successful in the long term.
And what I've seen is when they do that shotgun approach, like, okay, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that, we're going to do the billboards, and they see an increase, they're not able to track where that increase is coming from.
Yep.
So they don't know if it was the email marketing campaign, the postcards that they did on direct mail, the billboard advertising, the radio. Mm-hmm. They're not tracking where it comes from.
A great example of that, of like, I think a way to do this, I don't know if this is perfect, we could probably come up with an even better way to do this, but this is just the managing attention. One is a company that we've been working with for the past 2 months. They sell multi-million dollar company, and they sell patio furniture, but they sell under different brands. So like they sell on House, they sell on Amazon, they sell through a couple other different platforms, typically under a different brand name. So they just launched their own brand. And so basically we're starting from scratch, although they do have capital. So that's kind of a weird thing. We don't typically work with startups, but they're not really a startup. They are a proven company that is just trying to do the B2C side directly. And so we're working with them. I want to do everything and more for them, right? But we have to start somewhere, and we have to only change. It's science, really. It's science and math, which I love. So you're changing one variable at a time and you wait. So for example, this last week, well, let's just say for the second month that we were on for them, we got them over a 4.5 return on ad spend, which is great. They have got 50% margin in their products. They're making plenty of money there. However, it's not as much money as we think we could make them. And so in order to really optimize that, we have to change one thing at a time, which means I'm going to change one targeting option. Instead of doing mobile and desktop, I'm just going to do desktop for a week. And that's it. And I have to leave it. You have to have the self-control in order to like let it go through. And I think what we're going to find is we should probably be doing mobile and desktop. But you, like you were saying earlier, if you do not measure it, you cannot manage it, and then therefore you cannot replicate it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So if someone comes to you and caffeine marketing, how long until they're able to implement someone reaches out because of this podcast, we'll say.
Sure.
Say, hey, you know, I got a business and we want to hire you. How long until they're able to implement a new marketing plan, and about how long until they begin to see improvement then in their bottom line? Mm-hmm. Averages and goals and all that stuff.
So here's the problem. And I eventually am going to have somebody email me. They're not going to be happy. But I will say that their SEO, some search engine optimization to me, I think, among a couple other things, has given the marketing industry kind of a bad rep. And so it feels like snake oil to me. because most of the time you're not really sure what you're getting. You don't understand it. You don't understand how it works. And they just say something to the effect of like, trust us, we're going to increase your ranking over the next six months. It's going to take 6 months. That is awful. I don't want that at all. I don't want that for my clients. I wouldn't want to pay for that. And so for us, we want to make marketing profitable for all the companies that we work with. And generally they can see that return on investment within the first 30 days. And the way that we do that is that we start with a strategy session. So our very first call together, we lay out the strategy that we think that they should do. And they ultimately at that point have the decision to go, hey, do we hire Caffeine to do it or do we do it ourselves? But in that first session, I'm building out for them a marketing funnel that I think is going to be really profitable for them based off my experience and also what we know about marketing. So we start with the strategy session, and then from there, it goes to implementation. And we generally give them about three options based off their budget and also how aggressive they want to be in scaling their company. And so from there, it might look like building a wireframe for a new website and then building out the website. Sometimes, most of the time, it includes Facebook advertising. If they have a decent website and a decent sales funnel in place already, we start with advertising because they can immediately see that return on investment within a week, 2 weeks, which is incredible. So the paid advertising side is great if you have what we would call the sales funnel. So if you think of a marketing funnel, is everything from brand awareness, consideration, conversion. The sales funnel is everything in that really that's not advertising. Everything that you're not paying to show people ads to get brand awareness. It's everything in the consideration and conversion phase, in my opinion. So you have to build out a sales funnel before you can put advertising towards it. And all that to be said, it could be a few weeks before we see the return on investment. And what we try to do also, this is very unique, I think, is that we don't offer 6 month or 12 month term contracts because I don't want anyone to not work with us who is not feeling like they're getting the return on investment that they deserve. And so we'll start with a 30-day trial period, and that will help us evaluate and help them evaluate, hey, is this a good fit? And are we seeing that return on investment? And then from there, it's just a 60-day notice if we don't want to, we want to part ways.
Amen. Amen. So they're not locked into this 1 year deal and like, man, this is a bad decision type thing. Because you're giving them like, hey, if you're going to know right off if this is working or not.
Totally. And that comes back to the empathy thing is I've been in contracts where I've been like, this is awful. And I worked for a nonprofit and I was trying to get out of a contract. It was a really expensive contract. And I could not. The guy would not let me negotiate at all. He's like, nope, you're just going to continue to pay us all the way through. It's super frustrating. And they were not doing a good job. And yeah, I would never want that for anybody. So
That's I told you before we started about my experience with Nationwide AM radio. And, I can relate. I did not see any return on that investment at all. I did learn a lot through the process.
Yeah.
Now, you have different programs available on your website. Can you briefly go through the different programs for our listeners?
Yeah, so let's do these three. So one is a free guide that we have on our website. It's called 5 Steps to Build a Winning Sales Funnel. It's going to literally take you through step by step exactly what you should do, like building Legos, in order to build a sales funnel that's going to be profitable for you. So I highly encourage you to check that out. That's on caffeine.marketing and also evanknox.com. Most of these are on both of these anyway. The other one is our masterclass. And so in the masterclass, we'll actually walk you through creating your messaging. We won't teach you the story brand framework, but we'll use the story brand framework in order to craft a sales letter, a wireframe for you. All of that in this masterclass, which will be a one-on-one session together with myself and the business owner. And then lastly, you can work with Caffeine at any point if you're a CMO or small business center and want to make marketing profitable for your company.
Amen. And all that's available right there on the website. I've seen it. Now, what's the difference between Caffeine Labs and Caffeine Marketing?
Yeah, Caffeine Labs is the education arm of the Caffeine family. And it basically blueprints out the same system that I've used to, double my company's revenue every year for the last 3 years. So it goes through everything that if you're like me and you want to hyper optimize everything in your business, yourself and your leadership, and you do want to get that, high increase of revenue, that's an awesome program that you should check out.
Amen. Yeah. Like I said, folks, well, let me do this. Evan, if someone is inspired by everything you shared today and they want to get in touch with you to ask a question or start the process of working with you, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
the easiest way is probably going to be on evanox.com. If you want to go there, just reach out to me and we can chat. If you want to work with caffeine marketing, go to caffeine.marketing. It's no.com. It's just caffeine.marketing. And I would love to chat. It'd be great. Amen.
So it's not .com, it's caffeine.marketing.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Okay. Folks, you need this. If you're in business, you need this. I mean, I've checked out that free download he's talking about. It's amazing. It you think you know what you're doing, but you know, someone said you don't know what you don't know, and you need this information to find out what you don't know so you can fix it. Amen. I mean, this is something I've checked into for our ministry and our podcasting program. And so I know you need this. Amen. Let me just put it like this. Go down to the show notes, click the link, get in touch with Evan Knox today. I mean, while you're thinking about it, you're thinking about it. You don't have the information you need to think about it. Think about that. You know, you don't know what you don't know. And the only way you can make a decision on whether or not this is something you can use in your business is by requesting the information and talking to Evan. Right? So that's the only way you can actually, quote unquote, think about it. So go down in the show notes right now. Get in touch with Evan Knox today. Evan, thank you for taking the time to come on the program today. You educated us. Wow. It's been amazing. I do appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
And folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Evan Knox, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.